Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So Irish residents could soon be allowed to travel to Britain on holiday without restrictions on their return. This British-Irish travel bubble is believed to be part of a number of recommendations being presented to the government by Minister for Tourism Catherine Martin next week. This is according to reports in the Irish Times today. The plan would be independent of any EU green certificate, but with cases of the Indian variant increasing rapidly in parts of England, just how feasible is this plan? Professor Sam McConkie is an infectious disease specialist at RCSI, University of Medicine and Health Sciences, and he joins me on the line now. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Claire.
So this plan will give a lot of hope to a lot of people, but are we there yet? Should we be considering this? Because we're looking at variants, and the variants of concern are problematic in parts of England, aren't they?
Yeah, so I would, take a bigger picture look at this and where are we now in our whole interaction with COVID-19 now? Obviously, we've had three waves and they've been very unpleasant and devastating. So the health service led to a lot of horrible things. What we need to do now, in my view, is prevent a fourth wave. That needs to be our biggest national priority, because we're in a fairly good spot. We're back in small numbers of people who are getting sick, but we have to keep that situation of good control, the case for hopefully the next couple of years. So we haven't really solved the problem worldwide or even nationally, and that involves keeping the virus out, especially what are called variants of concern that could escape vaccination. So the question is, could this so-called Indian variant, I don't like using nationalistic names here because it tend to create xenophobia, and it's not necessarily...
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, and really it's just a shorthand, isn't it, to describe these things?
Let's call it B1617, and could that transmit effectively in people who've been vaccinated? That's a very big fear, and we have seen, as you said, in Bolton and North London, the British have published data that they're sequencing about half their cases, and a huge jump in the last few weeks of April and May in this B1617 variant in a couple of parts of England, and they've been vaccinated. Many people in England, as we all know, have been effectively vaccinated, so the concern would be that variant might be spreading rampantly in the UK and people who've been vaccinated.
But is it making people sick, though?
Well, it remains to be seen. I think we'd like to see that analysis. So I'm sure the British are actually doing that, but they haven't presented data in humans to tell us to what extent this new variant can transmit more than the previous one, escape vaccination, and make people sick. Those are really big questions. And my view is we shouldn't be opening up to free travel to the UK until we've answered those questions.
Okay, so that's your major concern, that we could be just inviting this variant in if we do this.
Exactly. Unfortunately, with COVID, because there's a lot of people with COVID, all over the world in partially vaccinated populations, that's likely to lead to the gradual evolution of variants of concern that can transmit in vaccinated populations. And we really don't want that in Ireland right now. That would negate the really wonderful progress that we've made over the last 4 or 5 months with this effective vaccination policy that's led to a much better situation now than January. So we really don't want to lose that protection. And theoretically, it's possible. In fact, I would say it's theoretically likely that there are variants of concern that can spread in people who've been vaccinated. And that would be very, very problematic if that was to become widespread in Ireland right now.
Of course, if you want to go to Britain, you can go through Northern Ireland and vice versa. So we have a travel corridor, some would argue, there already.
We do. I think most people are fairly wise and not travelling widely, even in Northern Ireland. I've ended up lots of kind of BBC radio in North Ireland as well, and there is a concern that they in Northern Ireland don't want to bring in the variants that are from the UK. They've learned that in December of last year we did import a lot of variants from the UK, and that led to our troubles in January and February, equally in Northern Ireland as in the South. So I think they're realising that a lot of increased travel between Britain and Northern Ireland would not even be good for their health service. They had a horrible time, much worse than us. The ambulance was queuing up, and a lot of deaths, in the north, even more horrible than we had.
Yes.
England had a horrible time. So I think even in Northern Ireland, they're being cautious. So while you can travel, many people are choosing not to. In the UK, interestingly, they've taken a very strict approach on travel from India. So I suppose, just to put it on the record, the British are not allowing people who are not Irish or British residents or or Irish or British passport holders to travel in from India. They've actually completely blocked travel in from India at present into the UK because of this concern around their B1617. They also put India on the red list. They call it the red list, we call it the category 2 list, before we did. So they have been effectively trying to respond. So they're worried about it as well. They're sequencing like anything. So this is a joint effort, I think, and working closely with the government in London for all of us to try and avoid community transmission of a vaccine sort of escape variant would be a nightmare in both these islands.
I'm just looking at what the European Medicines Agency said about this new strain, which originated in India. They said on Wednesday that Pfizer and BioNTech and Moderna appear to be effective against the new strain. That's good news. That's hopeful.
So in the test tubes, in the test tube, when you look at the antibodies that are produced by those vaccines, they appear to be maybe not quite as effective against the new 617 strain of the old one, but appear to be quite effective. But I suppose I'd like to wait and see how, in real human beings, people who've had the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine, how well are they also, 94% protected as they are against the old strain. Okay. So I think there is hopeful data out there that the vaccine, certainly some of them may well work well, but I'd like to see the sort of evidence in humans rather than just animal or test tube data.
Are you affected by this cyber attack on the HSE systems today?
I'm doing clinics, and my clinics are, I'm sorry to say, all paper-based clinics, which don't have advantages at this time. I'm still in the old world, but the laboratory systems and the computer systems for x-rays sadly don't work, and my dictation systems don't work. We are doing clinics today, and things are going on with the old paper-based systems, so there's something to be said for old paper clinics.
So yeah, you're smugly operating off paper there today, I'd imagine so.
I am.
Sam, thank you very much for joining us. That's Professor Sam McConkie. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.